The Space God Memoirs. Episode 30. The spinning blur of imagery slowed along with my thoughts, until I could see it again, solidly in front of me, clear as day. The world. Aruvis, a rounded sphere of golds and blues and greens, dominated my vision as it spread out before and below me. It took me a moment to realize I was looking at it through a window of a sort that was in front of where I lay, strapped to an upright bed. For the first time in what felt like ages, I could, with certainty, feel my arms and my legs. I took a breath, and it was like my first, the air sending a tingle through my body as I breathed it in. As I breathed out, I realized that I was utterly aware of everything in my body. My heartbeats, the stirring in my stomach, the tingle of my skin as subtle air currents moved over it, the tiny contractions of muscles and the flow of blood. It was always unconscious before. I was finally awake. Awake or returned from the dead, I still wasn't sure which. A brief glance around told me I was in a room. A room lined with windows just like the one I was looking out of, containing exactly 15 other beds like the one I was strapped into, each with tubes near the head and lower spine regions, just like mine. They were all empty. With a bit of hand movement and pressure, the strap on my right wrist came loose, soon followed by the left one, along with the single strap that was around my legs. I leapt down from the raised bed and landed on the cool, plastic-feeling floor below, right in front of that window overlooking the world. I realized then where I must be, the very top of the tower, so high above the planet that it rose over the clouds, above the atmosphere itself. Instantly, I felt a surge of vertigo, falling to my hands and knees. My wholeness shook with an electrical tingle, causing me to twitch as I fell upon the ground. It was like all of my cells were shaking, then waking up in a way that they had never been before under the atmosphere of old Aruvis. As I stared down at the churning clouds below and felt the cool air around me, I was overwhelmed by a feeling of lucidity, a freshness that spread across my skin, that tingled upon my tongue and shook from my very center. I felt awake. Oh, so very awake, more so than I had ever been before. As if existence on that planet below had been a dream I had just emerged from. Every moment down there had been groggy and asleep in comparison to what I now felt. Every sense heightened, every perception magnified. I took one more solid breath and then sprang to my feet, easily, sprightly, like my body weighed almost nothing. From my right, I heard a subtle hum as a circular door opened, expanding out where before there had been only a wall. There appeared, floating in midair, a most curious fellow. He looked like a man, a thin figure, all frail and delicate, dressed in a flowing overcoat and taut pantaloons, both of a rubbery orange material. His face was perfectly serene, smiling, of an age I could not describe. It too had a rubbery character, just like the clothing. He floated in, moving with a curiously fluid grace. He looked to be a person, albeit a strange one, but every instinct of mine told me he was artificial.
"I greet you with a fine welcome,"
stated the rubbery man, his mouth not moving. The voice was not a voice, more like a thought, like how the ship's mind felt.
"You have proven yourselves,"
it continued.
"Thus I bid you welcome to the first stage of your real life, your initiation into the Vare Unity."
The being began moving around the room, from empty bed to empty bed, until it came to where I stood. It stopped, looking at me with glassy eyes burning with silvery radiance. Those eyes briefly flashed, as if scanning me.
Unanticipated life form detected. I apologize for the false introduction. You are not among those approved for this testing session.
Excuse me? I said.
You are not supposed to be here. Your physical form will shortly be dissolved, and your essence return to the surface, where it will continue its harvest cycle. Goodbye.
Instantly, the lighting in the room changed to a bright red color, which began to rapidly blink. I had the sinking feeling that whatever was going on, the thing intended me to die. Not even thinking about it, I pushed the weird greeter. My hands made impact with crinkly, elastic-feeling flesh. Instantly, with a sound like coins falling into a pot, the man fell to pieces, melting into a mass of little fleshy bits that fell to the ground and then trailed off into a swarm of insects, skittering away into the various nooks and crannies of the room. In seconds, the thing was gone, but the pulsing red light remained. I had a very bad feeling about this. The red light continued to blink rapidly as I searched for somewhere to go or hide. It was obvious. The circular door the rubbery man had come through. It was still there. I stepped out and found myself outside, or what looked like outside, at least. I now stood upon a circular platform, without a roof, exposed to the planet below and the endless reaches of space above. I briefly wondered how I could even breathe up here, so high up that I figured it must be a near vacuum. But I could breathe well enough, and nobody here looked eager to give me answers of any sort. The whole platform was made of metal, its edges covered in railing. I was surprised not to feel any wind or coldness up here, with the upper atmosphere of Aruvis swirling below. Then my eyes caught a slight shimmer about 20 feet out. I suppose it was a barrier of some kind to keep out the wind. I wondered what would happen if I fell off. Would it stop me? There were small lights placed periodically along the edges of the platform. They too were red, blinking in the same pattern as inside. Scrag, I thought. So much for hiding. Just as I thought that, the door behind me closed with a sucking sound, vanishing back into the wall, with no sign of it ever having been there. I also realized that I wasn't alone out here. There were people, three of them, about 100 feet away on the other end of the platform. They were clad from head to toe in red suits that reminded me of what the evolved ones wore, but fleshier, more natural, and malleable, like the carapace of an insect. I wasn't sure if they'd seen me, but I was sure that they would, given the blinking lights. At least they were all facing away from me. I noticed quickly what they were all looking at, a silvery glimmer coming from below, rapidly drawing closer and closer. In moments, I could see that it was a ship, that octahedral one from before. Her ship, that had been parked outside the tower. Soon it was within throwing range, passing effortlessly through the barrier. Then it hovered there for a moment, about 50 yards above. My thoughts raced, looking for something I could do to not die horribly. I instinctively reached for my shiv, but quickly realized that it wasn't there, tucked into any part of my clothing, because I barely had any clothing other than a skin-tight black bodysuit that I could barely feel. Scrag. One of the red-clad guards began to turn around. I went prone, hoping he didn't see me. But he did. The guard quickened his pace, moving towards me with his pike out, the end glowing with yellow electricity. I felt frozen. What was I gonna do? There was nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. No tricks up my sleeve. I didn't know how to fight. Not really. Or did I? Memories surged through me that were not my own. Or rather, that were not Kef's memories. This time there were no images, no flashes of scenes. Just an inner knowing. I had never received any real combat training. But Bakibra had. Even more so, Garvel Thren had sparred for countless hours with his partner Hindel, even before the first wars for Balnar had begun. The two together had slain hundreds in battle. And now I effectively was them. Those skills were my own. Feeling a surge of energy through my muscles, I leapt to my feet in one single motion, landing in a squat, a devil's smile upon my lips as I gazed at the three red soldiers, my orange eyes glimmering in the starlight atop the tower. My hands moving into a defensive stance, I took gradual steps towards them. Exhilaration pumped through me, Not the stomach-clenching fear I'd always had before a fight, but rather an excitement, an eagerness for it. Latent battle memories surged to the forefront as I increased my pace, seeing that the first of the guards was nearly upon me. As the other guards began to turn, charging up their electropikes, I broke into a run, dashing forward as I screamed a joyous battle cry. Yes, I know how to fight, I thought as I leaped into the air and pounced at the guardsman. He thrust his pike towards me as I did so, but I was quicker, grabbing the weapon's haft mid-air and wrenching it from his grip. As I landed, I spun it around and slammed the electric end into his face. He fell backward and onto the floor, his whole body going into spasms. One of the others, now on my left, sliced at my exposed flank with a sword-like weapon. In reaction, I fell downward into a low squat as his blade swung where my neck had been. I thrust my own pike upward as I stood, straight into the minion's chest. Like the other one, he fell, blood oozing from his open wound. Countless years of battle training swam into my body, and while the muscle memory wasn't there to fully utilize it, for now it was enough. I felt myself rolling to the side as the final minion tried stabbing down at me. I let my pike drop, and instead grabbed my opponent's weapon with both hands. The armored man tried to pull away as I held on, but with a fluid motion I pulled sideways, using the man's weapon like a lever to push him straight off the railing. I watched as the minion flailed and fell, then finally vanished, swallowed up by the churning clouds. The barrier did not slow his descent. I picked up the smaller sword the one guardsman had dropped, knowing I might need a weapon. Then I fell upon the railing, gasping for breath as I tried to process what I had just done. I'd killed them with barely a thought, with hardly an effort. It felt like a dream, in truth, almost like I had been watching a recording of someone else fighting. Yet it had been me, I realized. I had done those things, intentionally, but like it was old habit. I had just used an exotic alien weapon like it was second nature. Killing had been easy, too. There was a part of me I realized that felt like it was just a game, that even death, thought so final by the people below, was just a delay, a distraction. Images came to my mind, memories of dying hundreds of deaths, swallowed by a tower-sized, armor-plated fish, stabbed through the heart by an assassin's dagger, disintegrated by the plasma beam of a capital ship's cannon and more. Yet every time I returned, not always in the same form, not always aware of who I was or what my past had been, but always me, always alive. How this was, I didn't yet know. All the countless memories were still a raging river inside my mind, still jumbled and hectic and strange to even contemplate. Was it just me that was like this? Or was it everyone? I couldn't help but think of all the others, whose short lives ended just so I could be here, atop this tower. But at that moment, I had little time to ponder it. The ship had landed. A circular door opened up on the side, and I caught glimpses of several shadows spilling out from the brightly lit interior, their owners getting ready to emerge. By instinct, I rolled to the side, somehow knowing that they wouldn't be able to see me if I pushed my body against the left face of the ship. But I could see them just fine. It was Zerathra, along with five more of the Leonin guardsmen that trailed behind her, just like back at the tower base. She looked as eerily beautiful as ever as she glided down from her doorway and began to survey the carnage I had dealt. My muscles tensed, my mind still feeling the momentum of battle. Was she here to kill me just like the others? I didn't figure Z was a friend. Not anymore. That she-devil had been manipulating all this from the start. One of the space gods, the Veyr, or whatever they really called themselves. She was probably here to finish me off. Most curious, I heard her say to the soldier on her right. My sensors show the trial is being completed, with only a single survivor, an unauthorized entity. Whoever the victor is, they are unseen, and the guards have been killed. Fan out and search the area. The five complied immediately, spreading out across the circumference of the landing to find whoever had actually completed the trials and slain her little greeters. I could hear one of them coming near, but I was scragged if I would let him. In reaction, I shimmied up the side and onto the ship's smooth roof as quick as I could. Still feeling no hesitation, I crawled forward until I was directly above the ship's doorway. Looking down, I saw Zerathra, hands on her hips, glancing back and forth. Then she suddenly stopped. She immediately spun towards me, some hidden sense of hers alerting her to my presence. Acting just as quickly, not a single thought in my mind, I jumped downward, taking blade in hand and stabbing forward as I fell. There was a brief tightness in the air as I fully landed, and Zerathra turned around. For an instant, as I looked into her eyes, I could sense her reaching out with an unfathomably old and powerful mind, clearly ready to crush my will. But that never happened. It's just then the sword thrust through her supple blue throat. A surprised expression shone in her eyes for an instant before she collapsed into a heap on the floor. Just then, all five of the soldiers turned around too, as if somehow sensing the fall of their mistress. Two of them took steps towards me. The others just aimed and fired. The beams made a high-pitched whistle as they shot rapidly from the ends of their staves. I fell backward into the open doorway of the ship, yet I felt a burning pain wrenching my left leg as one of the beams struck me. I pulled myself in, behind the cover of the wall, as the minions fired another volley, pounding the resilient wall of the ship. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space God Memoirs. Space God is written, performed, and produced by A.M. Arctos. Original musical score by Alpha Colors. Various sound effects created by Industrial Strength Records Incorporated. Please support this podcast by following, rating, and sharing on your favorite social media site. For further info on Space God, its creator, and various other opinions, musings, and thoughts, go to www.spacegodmemoirs.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. If you enjoyed the Space God Memoirs, please consider supporting us by becoming a patron. Check out the Patreon link in our description to learn more.